When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation. At Ethos Pelicans on Twitter, at Lyle Swithenbank. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that fun stuff. Everywhere you can find us, go and give us that 5-star review because it helps us grow. And we love that. Today, I am joined by the wonderful Jacob Compton. You know him as Pels Press on Twitter. Mate, welcome.
Thanks,
how are you going?
Man, I appreciate it. Hey, I can't complain. I was telling you earlier, you know, I'm in the middle of a move, which everybody hates moving. At least I do. I hate moving. But hey, you know, I have like half my stuff in boxes in my bedroom and half my stuff, you know, in a pod or whatever. But I have my TV and my, you know, DirecTV little monitor so I can pull up the Badly Sports and watch like 5, maybe 10 minutes of the game before it inevitably blacks me out, even though I'm like 10 minutes from the stadium. It's okay. I'm not upset.
There was some screams of help. There were in between that. If you read between the lines, there was someone needs a cuddle. I think I mean, living with the NBA app in the early stages of this season had me infuriated. And when there is no other option at all, I can't go down the stadium and just peek my head in or anything.
That's right.
It is infuriating. So I feel your pain. I really do.
Sure.
So, Pelicans, top of the West. Might as well dive straight in, I guess. Top of the West, seven game win streak, taking on the Utah Jazz in Utah, well, in a few hours. Mm. Mate, overall thoughts. I mean, how's that for an umbrella question? Overall thoughts of the Pelicans so far.
Setting me up good here.
Exactly.
It's sound bites. I'll say this, and this is going to sound like a really weird thing. I don't know what to say about this team, and that's not like a bad thing, but realistically the whole team together has played less than 10 games together, and that's mind-blowing. So a lot of the questions that we had coming into the season about roles and rotations and things like that, we really don't have any answers to. And I know it sounds weird. You're at the top of the West, like, you should be all cylinders go. And I'm certainly not saying like we're bad or anything like that in any way whatsoever. Obviously we're not. But the aspect of, like, you know, Brandon and CJ and Zion, you know, still have to get that chemistry a little bit. You know, her being out as well has allowed some of these, you know, these more rotation players to get more minutes, Najee and especially Dyson as well, to get a lot of run. He started a bunch of different games. So I think they're really, really good. I think there's a lot of questions still about what it looks like when everybody's healthy. That being said, we're pretty freaking good at basketball, you know, like – at the end of the day, it's they've put a really, really good team together, and you know, David Griffin and Swin and Trajan and the scouting department has just done a phenomenal job hitting on lottery picks and everything the past 2 years, unsigned guys, you know, even getting those contracts with Herb and Jose early on, because they saw those look really, really good the more and more those guys play and more you realize. And I said this the other day, like, Jose, Trey, Najee, you know, Larry Nance, and Dyson would be a pretty good starting five on a lot of teams.
Yeah.
On a lot of teams. And so as many questions that we still have about the overall roster and what it looks like together, I think a lot of those depth questions are kind of have been answered a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the big question mark is, can all these guys play together? Well, not play together, but how does it look when they all play together, like you said? And I think that is, until that's answered, I think that's where we go from being that really, really good team playing great basketball to elite contender status. Because I think as soon as you can get all three of them playing together, it's the three best players on a team in the league. I reckon. I don't know many others that have three complete, that top echelon of players that we have, particularly in, heading into their prime, and then obviously CJ in his prime. And then the complementary pieces in guys like JV, in Herb, in Trey, you listed them off, all the way down, Jose, Larry, Dyson, all those sort of guys. We've got Billy Hernan Gomez, who's EuroLeague MVP, can't get a run. So where he'd probably be playing some decent minutes at other places. And, is a testament to, like you said, the guys that do the recruitment and have put this team together. Big question I have is, how good do you think this team can be? If you're in a perfect world, if you get everyone together and everyone's healthy and we make a bit of a run, say it happens on the 26th of December, that would be fantastic, so I can see everyone. But, if that we get everyone together, how good can this team be, do you think?
You know, I don't think... At the beginning of the year, I think that everybody was kind of saying that, you know, if you make it to the finals, or if you make it to the Western Conference Finals or the finals, or, you know, even like the second round, it's a lot of really good experience for the young guys and Brandon and Zion, who, you know, don't have just a ton of playoff experience. But I have, and I think a lot of fans out there, have really underestimated the impact of CJ and Larry Nance and that veteran presence in the locker room. And I think that one of the things that you've got to start looking at going forward is how much of a stabilizer that team is. You know, obviously, or those two guys are. With CJ, he had played, not great basketball for the past 2 weeks. Part of that's because he lost his legs because of COVID, because of conditioning, and all those other different things. You know, because if you remember the scouting, or I guess the injury report, CJ had cleared through COVID protocols but hadn't gotten his legs back. And it literally said, conditioning is why that he was being held out of the game. And so, he had not played well. And all of a sudden, everybody started kind of clicking a little bit better. It's just because that presence of him on the court, even when he's not playing well, means so much more. It allows younger guys to have more of a relaxed feeling, and basketball is so much more about. I mean, look at teams like Detroit or Orlando, or some of those younger teams that probably don't have a huge title contention right now.
Yeah.
I will say that a lot of those teams will sneak up and beat you because they're just playing free. They can do whatever they want. They know they're not going to get pulled. Jaden Ivey's balling out in Detroit. Even Bol Bol is like, he knows he's playing with some level of confidence to where he knows that he's not going to get pulled, so he can shoot shots and have more of a relaxed feel towards things like that. So I really think that the finals is something to still have on your mind and kind of are circling. Like, I don't think that you look at the top-tier teams in the West, and I don't know that there's a team there that we don't match up well against with some of the, lineup variation that we can have.
Yeah, and I think the versatility is the key, 100%. I think, like you said, and we go up against these top Western teams, none of them have a matchup for Zion. We've seen that so far. And, you know, this now that we have people that can actually make shots on the perimeter, all of a sudden, you're not looking at the Stan Van Gundy Zion who was dominating, but we weren't winning. Whereas you look at this sort of version where he is so good at finding people on the outside that all of a sudden Trey Murphy's getting open looks, Devontae Graham's shot's falling, you know, Najee Marshall has turned into a 40% three-point shooter, you know, guys like Dyson Daniels is apparently coming in, had no jump shot, he's hitting threes. So, you know, you see this change in mentality and this change of result because you have the personnel around the player that is meant to be there, which wasn't last year. And I completely agree. And with those younger teams, you know, the veteran leadership is so important because you go up against some of these young teams and they'll push you for 3.5 quarters and then drop off because when it becomes winning time, you don't have someone to steady the ship. And I think that was while Utah were winning so many games early on, is that you had a guy like Mike Conley who was like, let's just settle down, guys. And you'd see him take over at the end of fourth quarters and just be like, all right, we might as well win this because we've pushed them this far. And when you have guys like that, like we have CJ, Larry Nance is always a steadies the ship, you can look to those guys at the end of games and they can look at you and say, look, this is just another game. Another 5 minutes. This could be the first 5 minutes of a game. This could be the last. It doesn't matter. It takes the pressure off, like the release valve. CJ's also, when he does, now that he's starting to find his form, you know, he is also a bucket. And when the offense stops moving and he's got the ball, you know, he's going to go and get you one. And I think we're confident enough and the rest of the team is trust has enough trust in him that it is like, well, go and get it for us because we're struggling. And you need shot makers in those big teams. I mean, I'm with you. I think the sky's the limit for this team. I think, you know, of course, like any team, injuries is going to be an issue. I don't think we're any more injury prone than anyone else this season. I know it feels like it from the inside, look at, like watching our team. But, you know, heaps of other teams have had guys out as well. Top five in the West have been missing their top guys for serious portions of the year.
I think it's so interesting too. We were in the same spot we are right now last year. As far as when you're looking at a team, you're just like, man, just wait till they get healthy. Wait till they get healthy. Yeah. Wait till they get healthy. The only difference is that the roster construction is so much better this year, and guys have had another year, have had another summer to really get into that groove. Where it's so weird to be saying the same thing at the top of the West, then the same thing at the bottom of the West. It's so crazy. You know, and it's kind of weird. I don't know how you watch games, but I watch games alone because I don't want people to see me being an idiot. That was last year, for sure. Last year, I'd be on and my girlfriend, you know, would call me or she'd come in the room and be like, hey, are you okay? And just by, like, me being like, I'm fine. Like, it's okay. I'm fine. Like, she would know how the game went. But with that, I think it's so interesting to see how different it is. Like, I go into games now expecting to win. Yeah. And that is something that I don't know I've had for a while as a Pelicans fan, which is weird. I don't know if you feel that same way or whatever, but it's kind of like I expect us to beat Utah.
Yeah, agree. Yeah, you look at the schedule and you go, Yep. And you're ticking them off saying, and a lot of these games, and I talked about it with Five a few weeks ago, last week, I think, on the show. And, you know, we're in a mentality now that the games that we've lost, those close ones, have been mistakes from us. And I think that's what's been, was so frustrating about those early losses is that all credit to the other team because they got themselves over the line. You still got to make shots on the other end, but you can't help them. And I think those learning opportunities from earlier on in the season have now been learned by way of stick. You know, those wins are now coming out. We see the win against the Suns in overtime, which, I mean, so good. But
come on.
So, Utah, these weird little game series, the same teams, a couple in a row, weird sort of setup, puts extra spite into it. We've got Utah twice. What do you expect? I know you said you expect to win, but what do you expect to see from these two games?
You know, Utah is one of the early losses for us this year.
Yeah.
You know, it was when Utah was on a heater. Like, they were just, you know, especially Lauri Markkanen was, like, dogging people out. Like, it was wild to see him play like that. But I think, you know, with – you talked about, you know, Mike Conley, with him being able to play and Lauri back. And, I mean, even, you know, somebody that is so dear and near and dear to my heart, you know, Nikhil had, like, a 27-point game the other night. So I'm excited to watch those guys and see how you know, they kind of shake back a little bit. But these like mini season series that you mentioned that the NBA has put together, like the Lakers played the Spurs like three times in the middle of November, like back to back. It's like what are we doing? Like, anyways, I expect Utah to come out like everybody. That's the thing, is that they have so many guys who have that, you know, dog mentality, you know, with you know. So many of their guys, you know, that their broadcast says all the time, you have people that are fighting for their next contract on that team. You know, you've got people. So again, it goes to that part of not really having anything to lose and only having everything to gain. Because I think that they are playing for that next contract, but so much more, they're playing almost to be traded, because that's what, you know, Danny Ainge is going to do at the end of the, you know, he's going to trade and he's going to get stuff for guys, and so they can rebuild and do it quickly, because that's kind of his MO. But when you look at that Utah game, you have to control Lauri Markkanen. And even more than that, you have to control Mike Conley. Because Mike Conley is their C.J. McCollum. And you kind of mentioned that earlier and kind of hinted at it, because he is the stabilizer there. You know, the offense runs through him. He is so good at pick and rolls. He is so good at finding the open people. And he almost has that really high offensive IQ where he raises the floor of everybody else's, you know, IQ. And it's so cool to see. And so, you know, Mike Conley's been in the league for a long time. He was even with Memphis, you know, the grit and grind era with so many guys like Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol and some of those other really, really good players. So he has been a floor raiser for a really, really long time. And I expect with Mike Conley that floor to be raised again. So you're playing a really, really good, smart, savvy team. Malik Beasley, another guy who's a veteran, who has a defensive presence, who does a lot of those little glue guy, Najee Marshall, it's a knife things. You know, like, he does those things really, really well. So you just have to be ready to be you have to be ready to kind of fight and get into it. And we've definitely shot our foot in some of the early games by not coming out ready to go. You know, some of those ugly losses like the Lakers, you know, Portland, some of those other teams, it's kind of like, oh, gosh. Like, you look back and you're like, jeez, you know. You should make sure that you start out really, really well against a team like that has that really good veteran presence.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, these guys are auditioning for another job. That's, you know, they're walking them out there saying, well, in February, at the trade deadline, you guys will all be suiting up for someone else because we want Victor Wembanyama, so stop winning. You know, you've got this situation where they're allowed to have that level of autonomy a bit in go and showcase your abilities. And like you said, like guys like Bol Bol and that don't have pressure to be, to perform, all of a sudden play really well. You see this in the Utah team as well. Vanderbilt was fantastic for a while. I think he's dropped off a little bit. You know, Markkanen, Kelly Olynyk, Jordan Clarkson, all these guys, the list goes on of these guys that are like, well, we got to get paid soon, so we better pull our fingers out and play some good basketball. And it was catching teams off guard. Honestly, I really hope, like, I love Nikhil, but I hope he doesn't give us, like, the Clippers Nikhil where he goes for, like, 39. I don't think I'm emotionally ready to see that yet. Yeah. I sort of need like a 14-point-on-14-shot sort of night from Nikhil. I want to see him hit some good shots, but I don't want to see him beat us because that would break my heart. But all credit to you.
I don't know if you've ever played basketball, you know, in high school or university or anything like that, but it's one of those things where it's like you develop friendships, and you know all these guys in the NBA, most of them, they have a good friend. You know, I mean, like Larry Nance and, you know, Josh Hart are like best buds, and
yeah,
going
yeah.
back and forth on Twitter. It's like you're playing, you play your best friend. You're like, man, I really want you to do good, but like I still really want to win. And so like it raises the competitive level a little bit, and it raises it, have fun. But it just means one of those games that everybody says it and it's silly, but like it really just does mean like that much more that
yeah.
you want to go and be like prove it. That you know your old team and Nikhil's sake made a mistake by you know getting rid of you. So we'll see. I want to see Nikhil succeed so bad. I think he's such a good guy.
Yeah, and I agree. I think Nikhil had that lovely, like a real warm personality. I mean, from all the way over here, you could see it in the way he interacts with people and what he puts on social media and things. You know, he seems like a really nice kid, and you know. You never want to be in a situation where you've traded someone and then that ends their career. You know, that would be devastating. And the way he started at Utah, he wasn't playing much. He was trying to find his way into the rotation, pretty much went from sixth man at the Pels to like 15th man at Utah, and now starting to find a bit of rhythm. So, I mean, we wish him all the best success, but just not in the next two games.
That's right.
So, you know, well, you get that.
Yeah.
I'm too much of a homer sometimes, you know.
I think that that's a little, like, you can have fun, and you can have fun with it, and, like, you know, there's a good way to do it, and there's a bad way to go about it, but the policing thing, I mean, I'm going to talk about Twitter, and that'll
yeah.
be okay.
Do
but,
it.
Like, people who are upset about the Chris Paul sucks chance, or they just need to get on somewhere. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you saw it, but it was just like, the Suns fans who are like, well, Chris Paul built New Orleans. He's the only reason that there's still a team in New Orleans or whatever. It's like, dude, like, no, that's not how that works at all. And it's like, you think that you're making this, like, really, really good point. And one of the things that I say all the time is, like, Twitter's not real. Twitter is not a real
yeah.
place. The internet is all fake. You know, I put, like, on my, like, tinfoil hat or whatever. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, the fans literally is short for, like, fanatics. Like, we're supposed to be stupidly blind to how fun
yeah.
and involved our team is. And the Pelicans, the team in New Orleans, the first time that, like, we've been, you know, okay, like, our team's pretty good since, like, 2018, right?
Mm.
And this is especially for, you know, people from New Orleans in New Orleans, like, that have been through hard times forever. And, you know, COVID being one of those hard times that everybody went through. And if your team sucks and you're watching them in COVID with nothing to do, like that sucks even worse.
Mm.
So, like, let us be happy. Like, it's okay. You'll be
yeah.
okay. You know, like, it's so silly.
No, I'm with you. And like you said, like, fans is short for fanatic. And that's the thing, is we're all, at the end of the day, fans of this team. And while we understand that every team's got fans, don't try to belittle someone else's fandom for no reason. It's not advancing your cause. It's just being nasty. And like you said, Twitter's not a real place. I'm sure we run into some of the people that have fun names on Twitter are really tough in real life as well. And I'm sure they go about their life as they do on Twitter. And sometimes I do reach out and just give them a slapping. But, you know, I'm not going to be the Twitter police. But I do find that funny. I saw one that was talking about Chris Paul, about the
yeah.
Suns, and I told him to put his toys back in his basket. But
you just have, like, meetups scheduled. That's the real reason you're coming into America. Not for the Pelicans. You've
yeah,
got meetups with other fans just to fight. Like, just
I just sent Outlook invites, like, be at this car park at certain times. That's the plan. Yeah, you bring three of your best guys, I'll bring three of mine. You know, that sort of stuff. But yeah, it is.
How far of a flight is that for you? I meant to ask that. How far of
yeah.
a flight is it from Utah, from Australia to? I guess will you go straight to New Orleans, or you go like? I know a lot go to Atlanta, then they go to New Orleans. Where are you? How far?
So we actually leave on Friday, so we're going to
okay.
Bali for 3 days just to, like, actually have a holiday before it becomes, like, you know, rolling around everywhere. Where we'll just do nothing. And then we fly into, it'll be Singapore, and then Singapore to Turkey, and then Turkey to New York. But there's no, it's just like stopovers.
Mm.
But with the price of flights, like, we could have done, like, Singapore direct or something like that, but the price of flights at the moment, I don't know if anyone's checked, is just woeful. Like, I think it was going to be double the price for us to do that than to have a couple of days in Bali and then fly out of Singapore via Turkey. But yeah, so then we go to New York and then down to New Orleans on the 26th. So we're there in New York for Christmas, basically.
That's pretty cool, though. There are worse places to spend Christmas.
Well, that's what I thought. It would be a bit of a white Christmas, and we don't have that down here. It's usually 40 degrees Celsius. You can look that up. I think it's about 100 degrees Fahrenheit. But yeah, so it's going to be a little bit different because it's starting to heat up here, and I'm going to go to Bali where it's going to be hot, and then I'm going to be like glass and just melt while I freeze when I go to...
Gotta make sure you pack a good coat, man. Have you seen snow before?
No, in Switzerland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I have a little brother. I have a little brother who's 9, I think, and he, he talks all the time. He's like, "I've never seen snow." I'm like, "Dude, what?" Like, it's so weird. One of those things the older you get, you're like, "Of course I've seen it," but you forget that some people.
It's kind of wild.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big money on plant protection supplies now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready to spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Yeah, well, it'll be nice. I've never seen it, like, falling, if that makes sense. Like, I've only ever seen it on the ground. So, like, I've been on a mountain, and it's had snow, and I've been like, oh, it's cold.
Oh, this is cold.
It is cold, isn't it?
Have you done the snowball fight, you know?
It was a bit icy, so we just threw ice at each other, but, you know, we were 20, so. young blokes throwing things around, it's simpler times, I guess.
Yeah. So are you coming with your friends, your family? How are y'all coming over?
Me and my girlfriend will come over. So we'll be, Lark, she's been on here before on the show. So we'll be coming over and, we'll spend a month and, cruise around, finish off in Nashville, back to New York for a couple of days, back to Bali, and then back to work, which is just going to be fantastic. But really looking forward to it. So after the years that we've had, with the COVID and all that sort of stuff, we thought, let's just get the hell out of here. it'll be really good. But one thing I wanted to talk to you about is... We got this Pelican. How's that for full circle? Back to the Pelicans. All roads lead there on this podcast. Brandon is not back. We talked about it off camera. Do you have any sense of when this is going to come back? Because this toe injury has been like the worst, I suppose, besides Desmond Baines.
Yeah.
Has there been any rumblings or anything that you've heard about Brandon Ingram? Because it'd be really good to get him back.
So he's not a full participant in practice yet. They call it LP, light practice, FP, full practice, that type of thing. So he's practicing, he's working out. You know, basketball is one of those really, really weird, sports where, and even I guess American football as well, where you can have like a light practice but not be ready to go for game time. I think the biggest thing that the training staff and everything has said is that, especially with, New Orleans, is that they want, if you practice on Wednesday, on Thursday, for you to have no pain, right? So that means no swelling, that means no soreness, no tightness, no anything like that. And with a guy who relies so heavily on his footwork like Brandon does, you have to, you have to take care of your feet. You know, that's just kind of part of it. So I think that the and I kind of put on, again, my tinfoil hat on Twitter the other day. I thought that they are being overly cautious and maybe keeping him out even a little bit more because of how good the team looks right now and how everything is playing. Not saying that they're like, oh, he's completely fine. They're not letting him play at all.
Yeah.
But I'm saying more like, hey, he's not 100%. Let's not rush him back when he's at 75, 80% because how well we're playing. Let's just kind of let's kind of see what happens, you know, with and if there's, you know, if he's 90, 95% and, you know, if he's 85, 90% and the team's struggling, I think you make him play or you let him play and make that decision for himself. But if he's, you know, 75, 80% and 85, 90% and the team's playing well, you can just – you can – we have something this year that we didn't have in the last few seasons, which is we have the liberty to hold our top one, top two guys out and still be okay and be able to compete and be competitive, which is something very unique this year for us. But I think that he is close to coming back, but out of an abundance of caution and just kind of team chemistry, they're kind of making him stay out a little bit more. And that's something for all fans to kind of keep – and remember is that these guys want to play. Like, it's not like he's just kind of being lazy or maybe he's, you know, this, that, or they're like, all those guys are killers and they want to play. It's just sometimes you have to protect people from themselves. And, you know, Antonio Daniels says it all the time on the broadcast is that you have to protect guys from themselves. And unfortunately, that is kind of the situation. But I think he's close. I know that he is doing some light practicing, hasn't gone full, you know, 3-on-3 stuff. He hasn't done full 5-on-5, full court stuff that they have been doing with his couple breaks. But I know that he's close.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I completely agree. I think, you know, you say it's a tinfoil hat, but you're probably not far from the truth. I think if the team goes on a 5-game losing streak rather than a 7-game win streak, you're probably saying, Brandon, let's get that strapped up and we'll get you back out there. You know, we wanted him back this time last year where we were, 1-12 or 3-16, you know, we were going through it. And then he came back and the rest is history. But, you know, it's a luxury that not many teams get to be able to get your guys at 100% before, you know, they have to come back for want of throwing away the season, you know.
Right.
And I agree that, you know, maybe that's not an agenda and that sort of stuff, but it could absolutely play into the factor because you also don't want to upset the apple cart because can you afford to give Brand? Well, I mean, of course you can, but you know, it sounds stupid before I even said it. You know, he might have an off game and you've still got to try to get him going because he's still got to get so many shots, get his rhythm in. And when the team's already, you know, flying, you add another piece in, does that cause you to trip up? You know, again, stupid because Brandon Ingram's amazing, but
I mean it's kind of I don't think you're far off, you know, from the truth there because a lot of times fans, you know, and analysts sometimes too, is that they try to make it like 2K, right? And like, oh, I'll just plug him in and everything will be perfect. It's like, no, the rotations over the past 7 games has been what has been the catalyst for everything, right? Yeah. Dyson Daniels playing really well, Najee playing really well. You know, Devontae, Jose, Larry, you know, and so you've got these guys that are secure in their roles right now, and they know when they're going to come on, they know when they're going to go off, they know how hard they play here, how to save themselves here, they know what shots they're supposed to take, what shots they're not, and you throw in an all-star, high-level player into that, and everybody, the first game back, I would almost guarantee that you'll see just kind of everybody, you know, maybe take in the second instead of making that initial cut. Or maybe staying when they should have cut, or you know everybody's rotations will be a little bit off, and inevitably, like you might lose that game because everybody throws that rotation off. Because realistically, you replace Brandon Ingram, you put him over Dyson Daniels. Is Dyson, you know, where does Dyson fit in? Where does Najee fit in? Where does, you know, Devontae fit in? Like, you have to answer all these questions when you've really set these rotations over the past, I mean, two and a half weeks now, where you've gone on this really world beater type run.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And he has to get his 35 minutes. You can't just magic up those minutes. You know, that's other guys that then lose opportunity and lose, continuity as well, because it's what we've had in this is that everyone that has played has been doing the same thing. You know, playing the same minutes, playing the same role. When Brennan inevitably does come back, and Herb, I mean, he could be back this game. Do we shorten the rotation to people? Well, I suppose shorten. Who drops off the end, I guess? Or do we just try to find minutes for everyone?
Well, that's the tough question, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got 10. I mean, realistically, this team has 12 guys that have rotational, you know, 13 guys that have rotational minutes and could get them,
yeah,
right? So the question is, with how well Dyson is playing, you can't afford to not give him more minutes and just destroy his confidence in his rookie season. I personally would really like to see a starting five of CJ, Herb, and this is a hot take. Mm. I still think that based on matchup, I would be very intrigued to let Dyson start. You know, when you're going up against teams with guards, I think Herb is fantastic, an absolutely great defender, but he is so much more a, you know, big 2-3-4 defender, and he does well against Chris Paul, he does well against these guards, but Dyson Daniels just has a little bit more speed than Herb does on some lateral things, which helped him stay in front of Chris Paul, helped him stay in front of Devin Booker. And again, this is not saying that Herb's a bad defender or bad at defense. That's what he's good at. But you have to look at those rotations and look at those matchups, especially, you know, like when Portland comes to town again, right? When you see Damian Lillard, I would much rather have Dyson on Damian Lillard than Herb right now, just because of the size, the strength of the matchup. And I know that's such a weird thing to say, and people get their pitchforks and like, that's fine, I understand it, but I really do think that that's something they'll have to look at. But as far as those two, you know, the 10-11 man rotation, I think that you have to have CJ, you have to have Herb, you have to have BI, you know, you're gonna have Zion, you're gonna have JV, and then you go to Jose, Dyson. As long as Dyson's shot is falling, especially, I think you really, really do have to play him. Najee, you go to Trey, and then you go to Larry. And those to me, are your 10.
Yeah.
And I know it's tough because Devontae has played better this year. He really has. He's really stepped up. He is above that 40% from three mark right now, and that's really awesome to see from him. And I know that Jackson Hayes is frustrated. He's not getting minutes. But those 10 guys, I think, are the guys – that will push you to that finals run that we're all really hoping for.
Yeah. It's, I suppose that's the hardest job in basketball, isn't it? Having those conversations with those guys that, you know, in other teams would be playing or you know, in other circumstances, even here, have played and have played big minutes. And then when you bring pieces back, I suppose that's tough because you're saying, well, Devonta, I know you've only had 9 averaging 10 minutes a game or whatever, or those 10 minutes are now 2 minutes at the end of games, or you're not going to play at all, or you know, you have to sit your rookie down, even though I think Dyson should be playing, and you say, look, mate, this is not the year for you, or at the moment there's not the opportunity. And I don't think you can do that to Dyson at the moment, because I think he's outplayed half the team at times. I think he's been exceptional, and for 19 years old, I think we're pretty lucky.
I said it the other day, man. If Dyson was on the Pistons, Dyson would be a top 3 rookie, and it wouldn't even be close. Like, if he didn't go to a contending team, like he would. And I said this the other day too. I think that he is the smartest offensive and defensive player on the Pelicans at 19 years old, and I don't think it's particularly close. I think defensive instincts, him and Herb are pretty close, but you know, offensive instincts, man, he is such a gifted passer. And sees the floor so well, and especially on, if you, there's a play last game when Zion was on the wing, took 2 steps in, threw it to Dyson on a, he was in the far left corner, and instead of shooting, he dribbled 1 dribble outright so they could get a better entry pass into Najee. Najee took a step, pumped, and threw it to, I guess that would have been Larry for a dunk, and it's like, that if he didn't, because so many different guys would attack that closeout, but he attacked sideways, got somebody else because he saw how the play was going to form. And stuff like that, you don't see from, you know, that's like, everyone was like super enthralled with Cade Cunningham's vision. Like, Dyson's IQ is so much higher than people give him credit for. It's insane to see.
Yeah, I mean, that play, Larry talked about it, where he's like, oh, let's slow it down. He grabs a rebound, hands it to Dyson, and Dyson has already seen the person streaking up, and he's made this full court pass, throwing it like an NFL quarterback, and, you know, we get an easy bucket out of it, and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, how did he even see that? He wasn't even facing that way, but, you know, that court awareness and that we see it time and again. There was an awesome touch pass in the last game. Ball came in, hit him. He just literally maybe had it in his hands half, not even half a second, just immediately straight in, and we got a dunk out of it. It was, people aren't even seeing that. Like, I was like, how did he do that? Yeah. That wasn't a pass there.
That's not normal.
No, exactly. And when you find guys like that, you know, and now we've hit on, well, say four players in a row last year, this year. I mean, Najee, I think we've hit on him too. Kyra's, we don't know yet. I mean, Kyra's a tough one because right when he started getting that confidence, his knee explodes.
Yeah.
And I can't be out on Kyra until I see what he's like actually playing. I know some people are already out on him and, oh, we got to trade him and things like that. Well, I want to see what we got because he looks fast as hell.
And that's the tough part, right? That one of our biggest log jams is at that point guard position, right?
It is.
You know, you look at guys and skill sets and everything like that, and you look at, well, what does Kyra give us that, you know, Devontae doesn't, and vice versa, and Dyson and Jose, and as well as, I mean, even CJ, who's, you know, playing right now. And sometimes I've heard David Griffin or Trajan, one of them, say this. Sometimes you have to trade guys for their benefit, as well as your own. And I think that could be where Kyra is headed a little bit, just because I think he's good. I think that he could develop into something really, really awesome. But I don't know that he will get the reps.
Agree.
In New Orleans right now. Unless they move somebody or, you know, rotations shift or whatever. I don't see a future for him, and it breaks my heart because, you know, I love the Alabama basketball connection they have everything, but it's tough. I don't want to see him go because I want to see him succeed because, like you said, he's freaking insanely fast and has a lot of really good skill sets. But even then, it's kind of one of those things. I don't know if you watch SB Nation. They do some really good stuff on YouTube about – how this event in history butterfly affected into this event in history, right? And so it's kind of like if Kyra doesn't get hurt, you don't go on that, you know, real stinker of a run. You maybe don't get CJ. You maybe don't get Dyson. Like, you know, there's so many different things that could see butterfly effect into where we are. And I hate that he was caught in the middle of all those dominoes. You know.
Well, I mean, do you see Jose Alvarado?
Right.
Because he wasn't playing until Kyra got injured.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, those minutes opened up. You know, it's that opportunity in seizing that. So all of a sudden, you've got a guy that drops 38 in a game, you know, coming off the bench. And we didn't even know.
I wanted him to get 40 so bad. I loved your chicken nugget video. So
it was a bit of fun. I was hoping he was going to get 40 because then I could actually order one. But
where'd you go? Where was that?
That was McDonald's.
Nice.
Yeah. So one of the poor attendant on a, I don't know what it was, Wednesday afternoon or something, was like, why are you doing this to me? She didn't actually, I just sort of aborted mission after she asked me twice, and I was like, that's enough. Bit of behind the scenes. I was like, oh, this is my local one, so I don't really want to burn the bridge. No, exactly. To when I actually do want 38 nuggets or 40 nuggets.
That's right.
So, mate,
yep.
What's been going on for you? What's coming up? Anything exciting happening with the show?
So the thing that I'm most excited about right now is, you know, sports drink. It's one of the things on Twitter. Yeah. You know, Steven is a really, really good guy. You know, he's actually cast to be Kevin McHale in the
crazy
HBO.
Huh?
Like, that's crazy to me too. I think I'm going to have him on my podcast here soon. I've been trying to work it out forever. But him and I are working together on a history of New Orleans basketball, like, clothing t-shirt line.
Awesome.
That include, you know, the first pro team, the first semi-pro team, the first women's pro team in New Orleans, and all their kind of logos, because all of them, they don't have the, you know, what happened was they were there for like 2 years. The league's folded, and so
the Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers were after New Orleans, and it literally just says New Orleans. Oh, the New Orleans.
The sport.
I can't remember. I can't remember. But it goes the New Orleans, whatever they are, New Orleans Bucks, New Orleans Pride, which is the first female.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're working on doing something like that, and that's gonna be pretty cool. But yeah, through this move, man, I don't know how much podcast fun I'm gonna be able to have, but I will be able to still watch the game. So yeah, man.
Oh, well, sounds very exciting, mate. Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing those drop, and no doubt you'll be having a customer in me when they come out, because they'll be wicked. So, final thoughts on the Pels before we wrap up. Any final thoughts and prayers or of the like?
I think the last thing that I would say is the Pelicans have been on such a heater. One of the things that you'll always see is, you know, they lose a game and everyone's like, oh, you know, fire David Griffin or trade JV or
burn it all to the ground.
You know, it's like, you know, and that's part of being a fan and, you know, being the embodying the fanatic or, you know, whatever it is. But I think the biggest thing that I would say is, you know, just like have fun, you know, just enjoy it. You know, I think some of the best times I've had, you know, in Smoothie King or even at home watching the games is, you know, you just have you're just with some friends or mates, as you would, and you're hanging out. You're just, you know, whether it's, you know, drinking a beer or, you know, eating some pizza or whatever it is, just like hanging out, watching the games, just enjoy it. Like it, sports aren't that serious. They're made to be fun, and it probably takes up too much of my mental space when they win or lose, but it's supposed to be fun. It's, you know, just have fun. Just have fun, man. Yeah. That's really it.
I think that's honestly, you hit the nail on the head. At the end of the day, we see sport as a release. You know, it's entertainment at the end of the day. Work is meant to be stressful. You know, driving in traffic is stressful. Things like that. You know, your house burning down is stressful. Watching basketball, yeah, okay, it gives us different emotions. But at the end of the day, it's a release. It's fun. So have fun. Please, despite, I know how hard that was last year, but you know, now while it's good, enjoy it. It's it is really good, and we can't go 82-0 despite how good we are as a team. And there are going to be teams that trip us up, but it just gives us more motivation to beat them next time. Mm-hmm. So, Jacob, thank you so much for joining us on the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Where can we find you? Where can we find the pod? All that sort of stuff, and we'll get out of here.
At Pels Press on Twitter and YouTube, man. That's it. Easy enough. I can't thank you enough for having me on. I appreciate it. We should do this again. It'll be fun.
Absolutely. We have to do it again. It was a great show, and really appreciate your time. To everyone out there, this has been the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter, at Ethos Pelicans. Stay safe, and of course, bye for now.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.